Well, good morning. As always, nice to see all of you here this morning. Glad that you could make it out. I will be for the first to congratulate you. This is our last Sunday in this class. So you just got to sit through one more Sunday morning with us, and you have made it. So congratulations. I don't know who's more relieved that this is our last Sunday, myself or you. But again, it has been nice, this study. I do appreciate you all's attendance here. I do want to take a quick minute and say thank you. For those of us that are a little less seasoned in teaching, your attendance, your contribution to class, your encouraging words after class are much appreciated. As we try to build ourselves, get a little more used to doing some teaching, your support goes a long way. It helps us out. We started out the first week with a lot of pacing and a lot of knee knocking, and we're down to just pacing now. So again, I just thank you. I appreciate your support for the class and being here every week. And again, the encouragement that you've given us has made class a little bit easier and again, a little less nerve-wracking as we move on. Again, this is our last week. We've been on our evangelism train. We have spent the last 9 weeks. We've been looking at a lot of different topics. Some of those classes up to this point might have been a little uncomfortable. We've had some different classes and topics to try to make us think a little bit, try to change our mindset. So there's been some things that might have required us looking a little deeper inside ourselves than we're used to doing. Some harder questions that we asked ourselves as to where we're at with our evangelism. You can see where we have been up to this point. Again, we've touched base on a lot of different topics. Again, some uncomfortable, some just good reminders. We spent last week talking about our influence. Just a good reminder, influence is we can't change influence. We are going to influence people whether we mean to or not. Whether we try to or not. But the reminder we had last week was to just keep in our minds what kind of influence we're going to be. So we've bounced around quite a bit in this class. We've looked at our tracks. We've looked at our relationship, not just with God, but with one another, with regards to our evangelism, how that relationship builds us up, how it helps us go out into the world and be a better influence again, like we talked last week. We looked at our approach, the different situations, the different individuals that we might come across, the different circumstances. There's different ways to approach it all when it comes to our evangelism. So we tried to look at some of those and break those down. In this class this morning, I have really been looking forward to this one. It works out great. This is our last class. It's going to be a little bit different than where we've been. Because what I want from class this morning is for all of us to leave here after class today extremely encouraged. I want us to leave here with joy in our hearts as to where we're at. Because this morning, we're going to talk about natural abilities. We talk about our natural abilities. These are things that God has created and God has put in each one of us. It's just who we are. Our natural abilities, it's what God has instilled in us that we don't have to think about. They're just what we do. They come naturally. You might have heard people say, man, he really found his niche in life. Anybody heard that one? Man, it's almost like that's what he was made to do. He was. We have natural abilities that God gives us, and we call them our God-given talents. We have our God-given talents, and what I want us to look at this morning is how important it is for each of us to understand those talents that God has put in each one of us. He's put different talents and different abilities in each and every one of us. And we talk about our evangelism, and hopefully what we have found out through this class is there is no one means of evangelism. There is no one specific skill set that we have to possess to effectively evangelize. There's many different abilities and talents that God has given each and every one of us. And hopefully as we go through class this morning, we will see that every one of them are crucial. They're all critical. We have to, along the way, have every aspect of these abilities that God has given each and every one of us. They help our church be complete. They help us grow and be more evangelistic. So if you brought your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, this is a parable that I would be willing to bet every one of us in here is very familiar with. We've all read it. We've had several sermons on it. We've all probably sat through classes on this particular passage in this text. But I want us to, before we read this, look at what's going on either side of this text. Sometimes I think we pick a particular text just to do our sermon, to do our lesson, and we don't necessarily always look at either side of the context. But before Matthew 25, you get into Matthew chapter 24, and Jesus is going to sit down. He's going to have this teaching and this conversation with his disciples. And he's going to talk to them about the destruction of the temple. He's going to tell them the day's going to come, the temple's going to be destroyed. He's going to talk to them about the end times, the signs of the end times for the destruction of that. And he's going to move a little bit further, and he's going to talk about when he comes again, what it's going to be like when Jesus returns, and what he's trying to tell his disciples, and what he's trying to teach them and get them to understand, and he will make mention of it, that the day, the time, and the hour that he's coming back is unknown. Only God knows when Jesus will return. But the lesson that he's trying to get through to his disciples, knowing that we don't know when Jesus is coming back, what are we going to do in the meantime? Are we going to be doing what God wants us to do in the meantime? Knowing that we don't know when he's coming back, he talks about the master that if he knew when the thief was coming to rob his house, he would be ready, right? He would be prepared for when that thief's going to come. And the whole point is, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. So how are we living in the meantime? Jesus will question, when the master returns, what's he going to catch his servants doing? And so he's trying to get the disciples to understand these things. At the end of Matthew 25, after our text, again, Jesus talking about coming back and what's going to happen. He's going to come back and he talks about sorting out the sheep and the goats. There's going to be this separation, the righteous and the unrighteous. Those that while the master was gone, did what they were supposed to be doing. And there's going to be those that while the master was gone, were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. And they're going to be separated. One sent to eternal pleasure, reward. The other sent to punishment. That's what's going to happen at the end. And stuck right in the middle of these texts and all that Jesus is trying to talk about with these disciples, he throws this parable in there. And I don't think it's coincidence that Jesus throws it in there. But it gives us something really important to think about with regards to our God-given talents this morning, and what we're going to be doing while we're waiting for the master to return. Let's start in verse 14 of Matthew 25. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with two bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with two bags of gold. I have gained two more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belonged to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him, give it to the one who has 10 bags, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We read this parable. Jesus, again, has talked to his disciples. One day he's coming back. What will we be doing with what God has entrusted us with in the meantime? This parable, we refer to this parable of the talents, talking about wealth. But what the master is doing is he is entrusting his servants with his wealth, entrusting them with talents. As we read this, three things jump out at me. And I want us to just look at these real quick, and then we'll move on, and we'll get some other texts this morning. But our God-given talents, as we read this parable, the first thing that comes to mind is God has loaned us a set of talents. We need to remind ourselves that what we have is not ours. Our natural abilities, our God-given talents that we refer to, those are on loan to us from God. They don't belong to us. And as we read this parable, it starts out that it says, this man entrusted his wealth to these servants. What the servants understood, again, is it wasn't theirs. They didn't own it. They just needed to hold it for a while until the master returned. It didn't belong to them. God has loaned us our abilities and our talents. We read on and we see that God expects us to use our talents. If this master did not expect these servants to use what was given to them, he would have just put it in the bank himself, right? He would have done what that third one did, dug a hole, just buried it. But what our text tells us, they were given this wealth, these talents, these bags of gold. They were given these based on their ability. God understood what they would do with them. The master understood what these servants were going to do, and he expected them to use it. He expected them to do something with it. He was going to go away on a journey. Don't know when he's coming back. But when he comes back, he wants that wealth of his to have been put to use and grown, to be made more. So God expects us to use our talents. And God will hold us accountable for how we use them. As we read this parable, again, those first two, the man with five came back and said, I got you five more. You entrusted me with these talents. I put them to use. I gained five more. And God is the master in this text. And God, with regards to us, well pleased. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. I have entrusted you. You have done what I wanted. Join in my happiness. Held accountable that third one that did nothing, took that talent, took that bag of gold, hid it away, buried in the ground, of absolute no use. In fact, the master in the parable says, you could have at least put it in the bank. We put our money in the bank now, it don't grow much, right? We can put it in the bank and 10 years come back and might have made 30 cents, but at least it did something. We will be held accountable for how we use what God has given us. And again, those talents are on loan from God. And I want us to think about that this morning to encourage us on what we're going to do with our abilities and our talents. So what is our talent? There are many talents, many abilities that God blesses us with. And when we start talking about our evangelism, again, I want us to remind us that there is no one particular ability, there's no one particular talent that is any more important than any others. And sometimes we can get discouraged. Anybody know that individual that just, there's nothing they can't do? Don't they drive you nuts? You see those people and we want to be like those people. Why is it they can do anything? And sometimes we get discouraged. I wish I could do what they can do. But as we go through our Bibles and we go through our texts, what we're going to find out is there are many different talents. There are many different abilities. There are many things that God's going to give us, and we're not all going to possess all of them, and that is okay. In fact, it's important that we don't have them all. We rely on one another. We need each and every ability that each and every one of us in here possess to go out into this world and evangelize. Again, it is okay that we from time to time might feel that my talent just isn't as important as your talent. I don't know what I'm really doing. Am I really of any value to the church? Am I of any value to God? Everybody in here, this is our encouragement. And this is where I want us to just be joyful this morning. Every one of us has something that God has given us to use. An ability, a talent. Over in Ephesians 2, we read about how we are God's handiwork. We are God's handiwork. Kurt's been in Ephesians for us. We have been made and created by God with His good works in mind, prepared in advance. If God has prepared us in advance for the good works that He wants us to do, means God has equipped us with what He wants us to do. God does not set us up to fail. Ever. God knows what He wants from each and every one of us, which means God has given each and every one of us the ability that we need. We cannot take away from what God has given us. Holly reminded me this morning, that doesn't mean that we can't try to grow into more abilities. Our text and our parable, what happened to those individuals that had the five and the two bags of gold? And they put them to use and they used it. The master says, I'm going to entrust you with more. Give you more. But we cannot deny the natural ability that God gives us from the get-go. We use it. So we are God's handiwork, prepared in advance for what He has given us. Let's go over to Romans chapter 12. Feel free to jump in with any comments at any time. Romans chapter 12. Start in verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Paul says we have all been given something different. We are to embrace what we've been given, to use it with all of ourself. Again, we don't all receive the same gift. Some people are multi-gifted. Some people receive multiple gifts. Some people receive one. These are spiritual gifts that God has given us. And as we go through these texts, there are some things that we know don't apply to us today. But there are still gifts that God gives each and every one of us every day. We don't do the prophesying. I don't believe God gives that gift of prophesying anymore. But we teach. We do have teachers. We have encouragers. We have servants. We all are given something different. And what Paul is saying to the church in Rome and to the group there, that use what God has given you. Use it to the best of your ability. One more text this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As we think of these different gifts that we're given, these talents that we are blessed with, again, from time to time, it might get discouraging a little bit. How come they are able to do so much? Yet I can't do what Kurt does. Wish I could. I can't do what Bill does. I can't do what Calvin does. I can't do what Bob does. We can get discouraged. But what we're going to read in 1 Corinthians is all those gifts all come from the same place. And if they all come from the same place, they all come from God, they're all from the Spirit, means every one of them is important. Every one of them holds value. Every one of them is needed. And we cannot be discouraged. And we can't think that our talent and our ability is unimportant, that what we can do somehow is trivial to the church. Because what we're being reminded of through our scripture is that every part of it is needed. Every ability and talent that the church possesses, that the individuals in this church have, are all needed to complete what we're doing. 1 Corinthians 12, let's start in verse 4. This is a longer reading, but we'll get through it all, and then we'll wrap up class this morning. But starting in verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To others, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Again, there are some of these that don't apply to us today. I get that. But there is so many in here that do apply to us today. We don't speak in tongues today. Well, wake me up in the middle of the night, I might be speaking in tongues. Call me at 2 a.m, you might get some jibber jabber on the phone. But it's not tongues, I promise. But what Paul is trying to say is that all of these talents, all of these gifts that God gives, again, they're all from God. And if they're all from God, it means they're all needed. We have to have all of them. Continuing in verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? These are all questions that Paul's asking. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. Paul questions at the end, we're not all going to have the same ability. God's not going to bless us all with the exact same talent. But we all need each other. Every part needs the others. Anybody ever stubbed their toe? Of such a trivial little piece of my body, so I think. I stubbed that toe and I am jumping around like I just got shot. It hurts. It's amazing how even the smallest parts that we think don't matter have a role, have a purpose. When those parts are hurting, our whole body hurts. When those parts of the body are missing, when they're lacking, it hurts the whole body. We have to remember, again, God gives us these talents. They're all important. Nobody's talent and nobody's ability is any less important than anyone else's. I came across this quote. God gives different people different talents. Wherever He has you there for a purpose. As we've read our text this morning, Paul has reminded us that we are where we are at for a reason. We are given our talents and abilities according to what God has purposed. We need to use it. I'll get off on a soapbox. Holly and myself and Owen, we've been here for a couple of years now. And I got to tell you, church, we, as this congregation here in Windsor, I want you all to know this. And again, I hope this encourages all of you. This is a truly blessed congregation right here. The talents and the abilities that God has given and blessed this congregation with is overwhelming. It does not take very long walking into this church to see what God has given you. We have members in this congregation that can teach. We have those individuals that can open up the Word. They can present it in a way to the church that opens up our hearts and our minds. We have preachers in this congregation, multiple preachers in this church, men that have devoted their time and their study in God's Word, that can rightly discern God's Word for us as a church and give us our sermons and minister to our needs. We are blessed. We got singers in this church. God has blessed this church with singing voices. We've been in congregations of 300 plus whose song service sounds nothing like this little church in Windsor. God has blessed us. Those individuals that can get up and lead us, just raising our voices to God, it's a great thing. It's encouraging when you walk in here on Sunday morning and hear the singing coming from this church. We have servants in this church. There are individuals in this church who at the drop of a hat will be there when you need them. Those that will give of their time to any call that's needed. You need help moving, they will be there. They need visited in the hospital, they will be there. We have great servants. The creativity that flows from this church. We have wonderful women in this church. If you don't realize that, church, you need to know we have wonderful women in this church that can put these activities and classes together, that can work with our young children. It's amazing to watch. We are blessed with such great talent around us in this church. Any thoughts or comments? We kind of whizzed through class pretty quick, but it shot through. Go ahead.
I was just wondering if part of that investment is not just using the talents that God gives us, but also trying out new things. I know that sometimes we can get in a rut.
Yep.
Well, you know, preaching is my thing, or obviously not me, but for a guy. But, you know, just different things that we think, okay, well, that's my talent, and as I use it, then God will give me more. Sometimes we have to step out in faith and try something new. Our last congregation that we were at, we were a very small congregation, about 40 or 50, and we didn't have a lot of the blessings of this church initially.
And that's, like I said, our parable this morning. Again, we made the same similar comment that we don't have to be stuck in that talent and that ability that God's given us. As we continue to grow, as we use those abilities, that parable we read in Matthew this morning. Well done, good faithful servant. I'm going to bless you with even more. But like you said, we've got to, from time to time, maybe get out of our comfort a little bit. Try some different things. It's amazing what we can accomplish that we didn't think we ever could. Sometimes we surprise ourselves. But again, let's use the talents. Make sure we're using those talents. Make sure we're out in the world. Remember, those abilities, they're not ours. They're on loan to us from God. We are entrusted with those until the master comes back. We need to go out and use it. I'll close this morning with this. I found this slide. Your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. As we go out, again, I thank you all for this class, for the ability to take some time to talk about evangelism, some of those different things that we can work on, that we can grow in, that we can try to get out into the world, that we can be a little more evangelistically driven, draw closer to God. Again, I wanted this last class. This was our encouraging class. Because we all have the ability to do this. None of us at any point should think that I just don't have the means or the ability or the talent to go be evangelistic. We were all lost and have been saved. And we can go out into the world with whatever our ability is, with whatever our talent is. If you're an encourager, encourage. Again, we have those in our church that will open up their homes. They practice hospitality. That's not for everybody. It's a wonderful gift. Let's use what we have. Any final comments before we close? We're a couple minutes early. I just hope and pray, again, that this class has been encouraging to you. Again, I know there might have been some little more uncomfortable classes, some things to make us think, dig down a little deeper than we typically want to. It's been an encouragement to me. Again, I thank you all for your attention, for your participation in class. Kurt's going to be starting next week. I don't know what your class is, but again, you made it. You got through. We'll get a real teacher come next week starting. We'll get someone with the real talent and abilities to get up here. No, you have been an encouragement. It's been nice to, again, get some of that practice, use some of the talents, and try some different things. So, any final comments? If not, let's have a word of prayer, and then we will end our class. Our God and our Father, we come to you at this time. And Father, we just take this time to recognize what a truly awesome, powerful God that you are. God, we know that you create all things. Father, that you give all things. We know, Father, that you love all things. Father, you love us. And Father, we thank you so much. Father, we thank you for the abilities, for the talents and the gifts that you bless us with. We thank you, Father, for blessing this church in the way that you have blessed this congregation. Father, we thank you for your love. The love that put your plan of salvation before we were ever created. Father, love that sent your Son here, come to this earth. Father, that he would offer up his life, that he would be that sacrifice, Father, for us. Knowing that you love us so much that you want us to be with you, Father, that would be your plan. Father, we just thank you so much for the blood of your Son. It's because of that that we can have our eternal home with you. Father, we thank you for this past several months, this class that you've allowed us to have. Father, we thank you for your message, for your word, Father, for your instructions that you give us. We just hope and pray, Father, that as we draw closer to you, as Father, we try to build our devotion to you. Father, that we want to love you and show you our love in going out into this world, Father, knowing that we were lost and that you saved us, Father, and that we can go out into this world, that we can find the lost, that we can show them, Father, what it is to be saved in your wonderful power. Father, we pray that you would be with us through the remainder of our service this morning. We pray, Father, that everything that we do and say here today is pleasing to you, that it brings glory and praises you, Father. Father, we know we are sinners. We know we fall short of your glory. But again, Father, it's because of that love. It's because of your Son. We know, Father, that we can ask you for forgiveness. We do so at this time, and it's in your Son's most holy name that we pray. Amen.